This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A new era for Apple. Steve Jobs resigns.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, in for Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective on business and economics. Apple founder and industry visionary Steve Jobs has announced he's resigning as CEO of the company. The 56-year-old has battled pancreatic cancer in the past, and in a letter to Apple's board, Jobs says he can no longer perform his duties effectively. Apple's had a wildly successful year. Earlier this month, it rivaled Exxon as the most valuable public company in the world. John Moe, host of Marketplace Tech Report, joins me now. Good morning, John.
Hey, Stacey.
So, John, I have to ask this. Is Apple going to be the same company without Steve Jobs?
Well, it's hard to say. Apple is incredibly secretive. It's kind of like the Kremlin. That's their culture. They're secretive about what they're working on. They're even secretive within the company. Famously, on the day the iPhone launched many years ago, a lot of Apple employees had no idea Apple was even working on a phone. They keep it all pretty locked down. We know there are a lot of smart, talented people working there, but we don't always know what goes on behind closed doors. But obviously, they've been preparing for this for a long time.
Let's talk. I mean, it's been reported, though, that the Jobs hasn't been that hands-on recently, though. Is that right?
Yeah, Tim Cook has been running the company since Jobs went on medical leave in January. He's the COO, the chief operating officer, and he'll keep running the company. Jobs recommended in the letter that they promote Cook, and the board approved of it. The resignation letter that Jobs wrote even made reference to a succession plan, which might have been a little bit of a backhanded slap to all the people who were worrying that there wasn't a plan in case Jobs couldn't do the job. But if Apple is a cult, like a lot of people say, Jobs was definitely the charismatic leader. And
right.
Obviously, what's a cult without a charismatic leader? And he's a founder, too. I mean, so imagine Facebook without Mark Zuckerberg or Amazon without Jeff Bezos. It might work just as well. It might work even better, but it can't ever be the same.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Jobs' legacy. I mean, it's pretty, let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might ripple out to some other places in the economy, this departure, if things were really rapidly changing at Apple. I mean, but if Apple doesn't come up with the next big thing like it seemed to do so often under Jobs, and that's the unknown, then things could really dramatically change. I mean, under Jobs, it was huge leaps forward, either inventing new stuff or really radically changing previous design, the iPod, the iPad, the iPhone. Now, if Apple can't do that anymore, that creates huge space in the market. If it can't, the tech landscape and consumer culture could really shift. If it can, it's business as usual.
John Moe hosts Marketplace Tech Report. Thank you, John.
Thanks, Stacey.
Apple shares fell 5% in after-hours trading. But the markets are up this morning. Asian markets rose and rival tech stocks got a boost. Sony jumped 2%. Tokyo's Nikkei Index rose 1.5%. Europe is up as well. London's FTSE is up 0.25%. U.S. markets rose sharply yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average climbed 1.25% to close at 11,320. Oil prices are up a bit this morning, about $85 a barrel. That's as fighting heats up in Libya. Rebel forces are reportedly offering $1 million reward for the capture of Muammar Gaddafi.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Hurricane Irene is making a beeline for North Carolina. The storm is set to hit the coast on Saturday. It could pose the first big test for North Carolina's coastal insurance plan since it was reformed in 2009. Officials say they can pay up to $4 billion in damages. After that, it's all on the homeowners. Marketplace's Adrian Hill has more.
Many homes and businesses on the North Carolina coast are covered by what's known as the Beach Plan. It's insurance of last resort for people who can't otherwise get coverage on their properties. The Beach Plan has about $70 billion in exposure. It has access to about $4 billion to pay out damages. Wayne Goodwin is the North Carolina Insurance Commissioner.
You may wonder, well, if there's $70 billion in exposures, is $4 billion enough?
Yeah, I wondered that.
Well, it would be because it is extremely unlikely that any single major storm or series of storms would devastate all of the exposures on the coast.
But if a storm did cause more than $4 billion in damages, under North Carolina law, homeowners across the state could be asked to pony up, paying as much as 10% more for their property insurance.
Then mine and my neighbors and the people in the rest of the state could have up to a 10% surcharge each year until that amount is paid off.
David Marlette is a professor at Appalachian State University, about 5 hours from the coast. He says adequately insuring beach properties is a struggle for all coastal states. Some plans are better funded and better thought out than others.
What kind of shape is North Carolina's plan in?
I would say compared to other states, it's pretty good.
Yes, Irene's track is ominous, but Marlette doesn't think it looks like the kind of storm that would overwhelm the $4 billion pool.
And let's hope that it doesn't get that bad.
I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
And finally, Whole Foods is going to start offering wellness classes in many of its stores. Members can take courses in health and cooking. There's also a supper club and movie screenings. The bad news? Club membership costs about $750 a year. The good news? Members will not have to change out of their yoga pants. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
There's pressure in higher ed to save money and make classes more efficient. One thought, make teachers more productive. But how?
I have no idea. I think I'm pretty productive, but I'm not sure that I would come out well on a quantifiable scale.
I'm Bob Moon, running college like a business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.